Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Sister Janet Ferns. Just over 1 week has passed since Pope Benedict returned from his recent visit to his home in Bavaria. Chris Altieri accompanied the Pope on behalf of the English-speaking programs of Vatican Radio. On his return, Chris and I shared some memories of the papal visit, which included some of the Marian shrines especially dear to the Holy Father. In today's programme, we will also hear from a Franciscan missionary of the Divine Motherhood, who, after spending many years working as a midwife in Palestinian refugee camps in Jordan, is now involved in the dialogue between Christians and Muslims in her native Ireland. There was a strong Marian theme underlying the Pope's time in Bavaria. This was echoed by the Holy Father in his weekly general audience message in St. Peter's Square, where he reflected on some of the highlights of his apostolic journey. Pope Benedict also spoke about the academic lecture he gave at Regensburg University. Catherine Smybert tells us more.
Dear brothers and sisters, today I wish to share some recollections of my pastoral visit to Bavaria.
Speaking to tens of thousands of pilgrims and visitors gathered in a sunny St. Peter's Square on Wednesday, Pope Benedict XVI presented a series of points that he made throughout various speeches during his apostolic visit to Bavaria. In particular, he turned his attention to the lecture he gave at the University of Regensburg.
Here at the university, where for many years I had taught, I spoke on the relationship between faith and reason.
Pope Benedict said he selected his words and quotes for the speech in order to introduce his listeners to the importance and pertinence of the subject of religion and violence.
I included a quotation on the relationship between religion and violence. This quotation, unfortunately, was misunderstood. In no way did I wish to make my own the words of the medieval emperor. I wish to explain that not religion and violence, but religion and reason go together.
The Holy Father went on to say that the words of the emperor do sound incomprehensibly abrupt to our ears, but that his intention was rather to begin with the positive elements of the quote that regard how it's reason that must guide the transmission of faith, rather than violence. At this point in his message, Pope Benedict XVI underlined the deep respect he holds for world religion and Islam, especially quoting from the Second Vatican Council document Nostra Aetate, which focuses on interreligious dialogue.
I hope that my profound respect for world religions and for Muslims, who worship the one God, and with whom we promote peace, liberty, social justice, and moral values for the benefit of all humanity, is clear.
Pope Benedict said he trusted that after the initial reaction to his Regensburg lecture, that his words can constitute an impulse and encouragement toward positive and even self-critical dialogue among faiths and cultures in our world today.
Let us continue the dialogue both between religions and between modern reason and the Christian faith.
In his reflections, though, Pope Benedict also recalled the spectacular evening held on that Tuesday night in Regensburg of ecumenical prayer.
Padre misericordioso, ci chiama ad essere suoi figli e a superare ogni forma di odio e di violenza per contribuire al definitivo trionfo dell'amore.
The Pope described the Vespers as having been a great occasion to pray for the unity among all followers of Christ and to proclaim our faith together without compromises, but in a clear and integral way.
Ci aiuti Maria, Madre della Chiesa, ad aprire il cuore.
Another theme of the Pope's Wednesday audience message was on the important role of Mary, the Mother of God, in the history of salvation and in our daily spiritual life. He underlined this point with images from various visits to sanctuaries and shrines to Our Lady, which he'd made throughout his journey home to Germany.
In Munich Central Square, I implored the Virgin's blessing upon the whole world. The following day I spoke of a certain difficulty in hearing God in a secular world, which needs so much the gospel's message of hope. At Altötting, we reflected on Mary's generosity in accepting God's will, recalling how she guides us towards Jesus.
Pope Benedict thanked those who'd made his trip home possible and prayed that it would continue to be a sign of light and hope for both the faithful of his native country and of the world.
More than a journey to my roots, it was an opportunity to look forward with hope. Under the motto, "Those who believe are never alone," I invited all to reflect on the baptized person's membership in the church where, never alone, one is in constant communion with God and others.
Following his audience message, Pope Benedict XVI imparted his apostolic blessing upon the crowd, which we share with you now.
Sit nomen Domini benedictum.
Ex omnibus rei seculum.
Adiutorium nostrum in nomine Domini.
Qui feci celum et terra.
Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen.
Reporting on the Pope's weekly general audience, I'm Catherine Smybert.
Chris Altieri accompanied the Pope to Bavaria on behalf of the English-speaking programmes of Vatican Radio. On his return, Chris and I shared some memories of the papal visit.
What struck me the most was the very, very simple Christian joy that the Holy Father brought, of which he was an example from the very first moment he stepped off the airplane until the moment he ascended the ramp and boarded the plane and took off into the Bavarian sky.
I can echo that with you because I was doing the commentary. And there were so many things you could see he was obviously enjoying.
He was very much enjoying himself. That, I think, anyone going home after a long absence, going back to his old haunts, as you will, would, I think, enjoy himself. There was some of that, but the enjoyment that he was showing was real, true joy in the way that Christians can have joy.
Chris Altieri had the privilege of accompanying Pope Benedict on his recent visit to his homeland of Bavaria. Chris was actually present on behalf of the news team for the English-speaking programmes of Vatican Radio, but inevitably he was left with some very personal memories and experiences. I myself had the privilege of presenting some of the English commentaries for the papal liturgies during the same period. This meant that Chris and I had some precious memories that we could share. In the liturgies that were celebrated, they brought in some of the very old riches of Bavaria. For instance, you had the relics of St. Wolfgang. You had beautiful icons. You had a 9th century crucifix.
Yes, you had all of these things. You also had, along with the relic of St. Wolfgang, which, if I'm not mistaken, was under the high altar at the sanctuary at Isungerfeld, the 9th century crucifix, inside of which, interestingly, was found this life-size replica. It was, I believe, 600 years old, if not more, of a small butterfly, of course, an ancient Christian symbol of resurrection. Perfectly lacquered wings, pearl tips on the antenna. It was wrought silver, and this tiny little treasure that was contained in the cross. I think the iconography of it is quite clear that in the cross there is resurrection and eternal life. Just one more of the ways that the simple truth of Christian faith was brought home.
In presenting the commentaries for the liturgy of the Pope's visit to Bavaria, I had been amazed by the huge crowds present. There were 250,000 people gathered in Munich and Regensburg. Tiny Altötting managed to squeeze in 70,000.
Let me just add a little bit of color, if I can, to this. You mentioned Altötting, and everyone hears 250,000 here, 260,000 there, and then all of a sudden 70,000. Well, why so few at Altötting?
But it's perhaps such a small place.
And it's a tiny place. The idea that 70,000 people could actually physically fit into the space. But I saw the place and I saw the people, and they were all there, and everyone was very, very well behaved indeed.
The Pope's visit to Bavaria had a very strong Marian theme. He visited shrines to Our Lady in Munich, Altötting, and Regensburg. Both Chris and I were deeply touched by a very special wooden statue of Our Lady of the Mantle in Regensburg. At the end of the Holy Father's Mass in Regensburg, a group of children processed towards the statue, some of them in traditional dress, with the boys wearing lederhosen and the girls in dirndls. They laid small posies of flowers at the foot of the statue, and then the Holy Father himself came down and stood in prayer for a few moments.
That statue is a magnificent statue. The statue, as I remember it, and I have it burned into my mind, is an image that stands, about maybe 1 yard high, and maybe a little bigger. It is quite clearly an image of Our Lady, who is wearing a blue mantle. Mary's face is looking down. There is longing and supplication in her eyes, and that's precisely what is portrayed, because as the cape, the mantle, as it were, flows down, she holds it out, and under her mantle, within the folds of her robes, are several faces, which are quite clearly the faces of Bavarians who seek and who obtain refuge within the mantle of Mary.
It's a whole theology in itself.
It is a whole theology in itself, because the mantle of Mary is, if you will, an extension of her womb, in whom we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And what was also striking in the visit of the Holy Father was that when he spoke, it was very personal. He thanked people. He said, for instance, how surprised he was to see the amount of involvement of the local people in every aspect of his visit, and he was overwhelmed with gratitude for that.
It seemed to me that the work that went into the preparation was extremely painstaking, very precise, not at all rushed or hurried or frenzied. I didn't have that impression at all. In fact, in the day before the Holy Father's arrival at Altötting, people were going about the last preparations, and there wasn't a sense of frenzied rush to get it done. There was more the idea that now we are going to have every I dotted and every T crossed, every nook and cranny polished, and we're going to take our time and do it right.
Music was absolutely beautiful, but one of the hymns that was sung at one of the masses was specially written with the theme of the visit in mind.
Yes, there was. The Holy Father himself composed a special Marian prayer, which he recited at the Mariensäule. Now, the Mariensäule is in Munich, a pillar, a column, on which is placed a bronze statue of Mary, patroness of Bavaria. All distances in Bavaria are measured in terms of their distance from the Mariensäule.
And, as well, moving one step further,
The ecumenical service that he had, it was Bavarians of all faiths coming together in a commitment to dialogue.
Yes, yes it was.
For instance, the Orthodox opened the service with their candles and a hymn, and then there was a Lutheran bishop who preached, and each of the different faiths had a part in that celebration.
Yes, each of the different faiths had a part in that celebration. The Jewish community was present at the event, which was magnificent. In fact, the Holy Father began his own remarks on that occasion by noting how the central event of the Vesper prayer, the evening, the prayers, the church's liturgical prayer at evening time, is the singing of the Psalms. And he noted that when we sing the Psalms are a point of encounter between Old and New Testament, and that in singing the psalm, we are, he said, united to the prayer of Israel.
And it was a very beautiful thing, in view of Germany's past, to see a German pope and representatives of the Jewish people praying together on German soil.
Yes, it was. It was a powerful testament. I think it took courage on the part of everyone, and we were seeing some of the very best in human nature on that occasion.
Sister B. Kennedy is a Franciscan missionary of the Divine Motherhood who, after spending many years working as a midwife in Palestinian refugee camps in Jordan, is now involved in the dialogue between Christians and Muslims in her native Ireland.
It was one of our deepest feelings when we were there that, yes, we taught in schools, we set up clinics, we, as I did midwifery all day, every day. But underlying all that was this heartfelt feeling that we must establish friendship, love, and care among each other, but particularly between Christians and Muslims.
Caring for pregnant women and bringing their babies into the world might not sound like one of the world's most important and most profound openings for interreligious dialogue. However, there are few moments in life that are in closer communication with God, the Creator. There are almost no religious differences between peoples as a new life emerges from the womb into the outside world. As a midwife myself, I can bear testimony that the moment of birth is a moment of intense religious dialogue and unity, crossing all differences of culture and language. It really doesn't matter what name is used for God. God is there, and that is all that is important. In celebrating a new life, all religions rejoice together. Whatever liturgical ceremonies take place around the birth only take place secondarily. At the baby's first cry, every religion across the world thanks God in its own way, in a moment that is both unity and dialogue. Sister B. Kennedy, a Franciscan missionary of the Divine Motherhood, spent many years working as a midwife in Palestinian refugee camps in Jordan. Now back home, she finds herself equipped from her hands-on experience for her current role in interreligious dialogue in her native Ireland.
We felt deep in our hearts we had our little answer, that the answer is really Yes, it's good to have conferences and talk at that level, but we felt the real need of dialogue of life, dialogue of living, dialogue of being with, dialogue of sharing culture.
There is, in addition to interreligious dialogue, a dialogue of living.
We believed in the dialogue of life and living. Now, we were aware, and indeed I partook in many meetings and still do, between the Christian-Islamic dialogue, where scholars and people of both sides regularly assemble in our big cities for conferences trying to come up with some answers to help dissolve the distrust and the animosity, and as now we see in our streets today, hatred that exists between members of these two great faiths.
Working in the refugee camps in Jordan taught Sister B that dialogue between cultures and religions means learning to speak the same language.
We were aware and realized that to understand culture and its people better, we would have to learn language. Language is vitally important. So everyone in our community was every day and every day of every week going to Arabic classes, speaking Arabic in the clinics, learning a bit more about Arab culture, history, its literature, its tragedies. And it helped us to grow in understanding of the people we were living and working with.
History also plays its part. Everyone has come from somewhere. Language unites cultures and teaches mutual respect.
Learning the history, for instance, the history of the Arab people, learning the language of the Palestinians, learning their idioms. We here in Ireland, our language is absolutely laced with idioms. There's an idiom for everything. And when you're learning the Irish language, you actually get a little book which is full of idioms. And each little idiom conveys a whole big meaning and a history. Now, the Arab language is exactly the same. When you learn their idioms, learn their expressions, learn what they love, learn what they honour, and respect it. Respect is vital.
Sister B worked in the refugee camps as a midwife, but she was necessarily involved in interreligious dialogue through her work. She soon realised an important truth.
We really realised that as Franciscans, living, moving, working, being friends with the Muslims was vitally important for the peace of the world, to spread Franciscan peace in the world. We were aware that we had within the great religions, the three great religions, the potential for world peace, or the potential for world war and world destruction.
Sister B recalls special occasions of closeness between Muslims and Christians.
And my fond and great memories are of us sitting with our Muslim friends, close Muslim neighbours, because we lived right in the middle of the Muslims. We had our little apartment right in the middle with Muslims upstairs, downstairs and on both sides. And we would sit around in the evenings, especially on their Muslim feasts and on our Christian feasts. We would sit around, drink tea, eat sweets, enjoy ourselves and talk about our different histories, our different backgrounds. They would love to hear stories about Ireland. They'd love to hear stories about England and Scotland. And equally, we would sit and hear all their stories. But of course, they would start their stories back with the 1001 Nights and Babylon and Egypt and so on. And that's how an Arab functions. They have a long, beautiful tradition. And we learned to listen and respect that.
So where does this lead Christian-Islamic dialogue? Sister B looks back to Pope Pius XII and then to possibilities in the present for the future.
I would love to see accompanying Christian-Islamic dialogue with our scholars, whom I respect. I would love to see an underpinning of that with a new surge, as Pope Pius XII had when he became conscious and had a sudden realization of what was really happening in the Middle East. He had an inspired moment. And he came back and called his people around him and asked them, please set up a mission and send out our missionaries to help these people, not to convert. We were never asked to convert. We were never asked to do any catechesis among Muslims, and that was totally understood. But to go out and actually, with the compassion of Christ, with the love of Christ, with the spirit of Francis, to get right out there and help them in their need.
She talks about what she considers to be the real weapons of war.
You know, I do believe that the real weapons of war are the denial of education, the denial of health care, the denial of freedom of movement, the building of walls between peoples. And it's time that in a globalized world and in the world of the web, that we began to become part of that web, of that great big web, where we go up and down different strands of the web and move right in and become together part of a globalized world.
That web can be built anywhere. All it needs is love and patience.
That web can be built in Ireland with the Muslims coming to us in Ireland, with the Muslims coming to England, breaking down walls at all times, getting rid of ghettos. Positive action, real positive action could emanate, as I say, in the spirit of Pius XII in his day. We must discern what now.
The future is full of hope and enthusiasm. World peace is a possibility. Understanding between the world's religions is within our grasp now.
There had been this little blip. And you know, there was the little blip when there were accusations about not caring for the Jews during the war, etc. But out of that grew the Pontifical Mission. And I think out of this little misunderstanding, because everyone knows that the Holy Father, who is so dedicated to peace and is such a peaceful man, never set out to insult anyone or cause any trouble. And his deepest heart's desire has to be for world peace and understanding among the great religions. But I really think that we have to not feel downtrodden by what has happened just now. It's misunderstanding. And, you know, people who are hurt are almost geared to wait for the next hurt. They're ready to be hurt. So the least little thing we say with the best intentions can do that. But I would say, let's learn. Let's, with a new enthusiasm, and with the enthusiasm of 1948 and Pius XII, let's think anew on how there can be a pontifical mission to create new dialogue, new love, new understanding, new sense of hope between Christians and Muslims.
And so we come to the end of our programme for today. You can hear it all again in whole or in its parts if you go to our website at vaticanradio.org and click on English. I am Sister Janet Ferns. Until we meet again, may God bless you.
Laudato Jesus Christus.